Good evening. Let's all turn together to Psalm 52 for our scripture reading. Psalm 52. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away, and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place, and root thee out of the land of the living. The righteous also shall see and fear, and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever, because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. Let's pray.
Open your Bibles with me this evening, if you will, to Genesis 21. Genesis 21. This is about the birth of Isaac, and I'll read the first 13 verses. There was a fellow here this morning he was from Austin, Texas, and him and several fellows were working down in Nashville. There's a mill right down there. But this first day they had off in a long time. They came up here. He'd been listening to me on sermon audio for a long time. And we went out and had lunch. And it was, he'd love to have a place to go worship. But that's, you just never know what God's doing. Just never know. I get emails and things all the time from people about it. And I'm very grateful. But you never know what the Lord's doing. All right, the first 13 verses. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman, and all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, and because he is thy seed. I talk about the birth of Isaac tonight. I want to talk a little bit about Isaac being born. And he's born. There's several things about his birth that's great lessons for us. And also he was a child of promise, and then he's a type of us by being regenerated. He is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ in so many ways. But you know Abraham, when he was called to go out of the land of the Ur of the Chaldees, he went out, not knowing where he went. And then God, when he brought him into the land and brought him into the promised land, God appeared unto him and said, Abraham, I'm thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And he said, I'm going to make a covenant with you, and you're going to be the father of many nations. Well, the next time God appeared unto him, and he believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. The next time God appeared unto him, he had already went down to Egypt, And he come back out of Egypt, and God blessed him again and talked to him again, and told him, said he promised him, he said, I'm go childless. I don't have an heir. And he said, I'll give you an heir. You're going to have a son out of your own bowels. Son out of your own bowels. And so then Abraham went down and rescued Lot from those five kings. And then he was sitting there at his tent door one day, and the Lord Jesus appeared to him. And he sat under that tree in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord let him know what he was going to do down in Sodom. And then Abraham built an altar and set his tent in Mamre, and the Lord appeared unto him again, told him, walk before him and be thou perfect. But then all of a sudden, it says here, and the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken of. Now I want to show you some things about here. Here's the thing about it. God, Abraham had been in sojourning out of Ur of Chaldees for over 25 years. God made him a promise that he's going to have a son. But year after year after year after year after year went by. And he said, you know, and they didn't have it, so that's why he told Sarah, said, Abraham, go to Hagar. We'll have a son by her. That was awful. That was an awful thing to do. But anyway, he did it. And that wasn't the promised son. That wasn't what God promised. He didn't promise a son by the flesh. He promised a son from him. Well, I'll tell you, this is the thing about it. We get in a hurry, Sarah got in a hurry, Abraham got in a hurry, but God don't get in no hurry. God don't go by our time. God don't go by our feelings. God don't go by what we want happen right now. And I tell you what, that's why the scriptures tells us that he that believeth on him shall not make haste. I mean, we're waiting. God is in no hurry. And he told them, and I tell you what, he told them so many times. And I tell you something else we see about this here. That God is almighty. Abraham was old. Sarah was old. She laughed one time and said, shall I have pleasure with my Lord being an old woman? And Abraham said, shall I have a son at my age? Abraham may be old. Sarah may be barren. But that ain't nothing to God. That's what that rich, they came and said, who then can be saved? When the Lord said, it's easier for a rich man to go through the eye of a needle, a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to be saved. And now you just talk to that rich young ruler, and Simon Peter said, well, Lord, who in the world then can be saved? You know what our Lord said? With men, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. This shows us that God only one has the power to take a dead man and a barren womb, a man 100 years old, a woman 99, and take them and cause them to have a child. Because it's impossible to nature. God has the power. And here's another thing that we see. The faithfulness of God. God promised Abraham 25 years before this. 25 years. Did God keep the promise? He kept the promise. You know, that show God is faithful. If he makes a promise, he is faithful. I mean, beloved, if he makes a promise, he's going to bring it to pass. And whatever God has purposed, it's going to come to pass. And here's another thing we see here, how faith is tried and tested. Abraham waited and waited. Sarah waited and waited and waited. And God tried them. God tested them. God put him to the test, and that's why Abraham considered not his own body being now dead, is what he said, but was neither the barrenness of Sarah's, but strong in faith, giving glory to God. Oh my, believing that he is able to do that which he had promised. He believed he is able. And here's another thing I want us to see, that God has a set time for everything. Ain't that what it said in verse 2? For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time. Now listen to this, which God had spoken. Now I want you to go back with me to Genesis 21. Well, I'm in Genesis 21. I done just showed you that. Go back to me, Genesis 17. Genesis 17. Oh, boy. I told somebody today I'm more to be pitied than to be blamed, and that's obvious. Genesis 17, 21. Look what it says here. Look what he said. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac. Now, this is years before he's born. He had already been named. God told him what his name was. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time next year. At the time I've got set next year, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Look in Genesis 18, 14. Well, go back up to here, and she said, the Lord spoke to him when he appeared to him at the tent door, and when he's going to go down to Sodom. And they said unto him, where's Sarah thy wife? And he said, well, she's in the tent. He said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, an incredulous laugh, said, oh, this ain't going to happen, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And listen to what the Lord said. And the Lord said unto Abraham, did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Listen to what he said. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, God's got a time appointed, a set time. At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. That's what God has, a set time. And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman. Tell you the second thing about Isaac's birth here. The birth of Isaac, he was a child of promise. He was a child of promise. Look in Genesis 17, 15 with me. He was a child of promise. And I tell you what, there's so many times that God made this promise to them. He made it to Abraham, he made it to Sarah, and all the different responses they had. But look what happens here. God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be the mother of nations, and kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. This is a laughter of joy, laughter of thanksgiving, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is old, 100 years old, and shall Sarah bear a child that's 90 years old? Oh my. So God made this promise to them, and he made it when they was old, and they both thought, well, how in the world is this going to happen? But I tell you, Isaac was a child of promise, and at the set time when God made that promise, at the set time, they had a child, and they named him Isaac. And Isaac, not only was he a child of promise, but he was a miracle child. He was born of a miracle, supernatural act of God. Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah was 90. And it says she is past the age of women. And beloved, just as sure as that child was born, it had to be born of God, because they could not do it by nature. That's a miracle. And that's like us. We're a miracle. We got no power to produce life. Only God can produce life. Abraham couldn't produce life. Sarah couldn't produce life. Well, who's going to produce it? God's going to produce it. And oh, and the birth of Isaac, let me give you this. And the birth of Isaac was typical of our Lord's birth in 7 ways. In 7 ways. I told you that Isaac was a typical of our Lord, but he was typical of our Lord's birth in 7 different ways. First of all, he was the promised seed. Our Lord Jesus Christ was the promise. God made a promise in Genesis 3:15. The seed of the woman, he told Satan, he said, the seed of the woman shall crush your head, and you're going to bruise his heel. And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. And God said, behold, I'll give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And you know what he said? You're going to name him. Why are you going to name him? We're going to name him Jesus. Why? Because he shall save his people from their sin. So he was promised. Christ was promised. And a long, long, long time passed before the promise was fulfilled. Years and years and years passed before this promise was fulfilled. And God said, at a set time I'll come. At the set time I'll come. At the appointed time I'll come. And our Lord Jesus Christ, God promised him in Genesis 3:15. God promised him. And you go through the Old Testament and you just watch Christ being revealed more and more and more and more. And then 400 years between Malachi and Genesis, Matthew, God never said a word to anybody. And then one day, some shepherds was out on a hillside and the angels began to sing. What did they sing? Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men, because unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And I tell you what, it took millennial before Christ come. And it's been millennial since he's been here, but it ain't going to be that long before he gets back. A long, long time before the promise was fulfilled. And when the birth was announced, Sarah asked, well, how in the world can this be? I'm an old woman. Can I have pleasure, give pleasure to my Lord? Can I possibly bear my Lord, my husband, a son? And you know what Mary asked when the angel told her, come and told her, says, you're going to bear a child. You're going to have a son. And she said, how in the world can this be? I ain't never known a man. They both was incredible. How can this be? They both said, how's this going to happen? Sarah said, how am I going to have a child? Mary said, how am I going to have a child? Huh? And fourthly, Isaac's name was given to him before he was born. You know who named him? God did. Just like God named his son, the Lord Jesus. He told Mary, said, you call her Jesus. And you know, when not only that, but God named John, the Baptist, named him John. When Zechariah was in that temple and he came back out, and he'd been in there and he hadn't been able to speak, and she had that child. And they thought, well, naturally going to name him after his daddy. Going to name him after his granddaddy or something. And they said, what are you going to name him? Zechariah took a piece of cardboard or whatever they had, or chalkboard or whatever they had in those days, and he wrote on it, gave him a tablet, and he wrote on it, John. Why, he ain't nobody in his family ever been named John. There is now. God named him. God named him. And oh, beloved, and our Lord's name was given to him. Given to him. Oh, my. Isaac's birth occurred at God's appointed time. At the set time. At God's appointed time. Not Abraham's time. Not Sarah's time. God's time. And our Lord Jesus Christ was born on God's time. On God's time. I tell you what, they kept looking for him and looking for him. And I've read in different places at the particular time our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, there was anywhere from 12 to 18 different people claiming to be the Messiah. And when Christ come, that's why they'd often say, when Christ comes, shall he do more miracles than this man? When Christ comes, will he be it? Who ever heard of anybody opening the eyes of a blind, of a man born dead? Who ever heard of a raising a man from the dead? They were just astonished, because there's all these people who claimed to be the Messiah. But not one of them, not one of them did what Christ did. Not one of them had John the Baptist saying, there's the Lamb of God. Not one of them had God speak from heaven and say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Not one of them. And our Lord, he came at God's appointed time. And Isaac's birth was by a miracle. It was a miracle. Supernatural birth. Our Lord's birth was a miracle. A supernatural birth. A birth only God could produce. And I tell you, when he takes a dead womb and he takes a dead heart, he's the only one that can give it life. And Abraham gave Isaac his name. You know what Isaac means? What his name means? It means laughter. He laughed about it. Sarah laughed about it. She had that child. She laughed then Oh, how she laughed. Ain't that what it says there in verse 18? Genesis 21 there, and it said in verse 6, and Sarah, God has made me to laugh. So that everybody hear me will laugh with me. They're going to rejoice with me. And oh my. And I tell you, God, Abraham gave Isaac his name. And oh, it was his father's delight, how he delighted in it. And God said of his blessed son, this is my son. My son. I delight in him. I delight in him. He does always everything that pleases me. And he's the only man who said to his father, Father, give me the glory that I had with you before the world ever was, because I finished the work that you gave me to do. And I tell you what, Isaac was, and our Lord's birth was typical in seven ways. Now listen, let me tell you another thing about this. Here's the third thing. Oh, we listen, God's in not any hurry. God's almighty. He's the only one that could cause Sarah and Abraham to have a child. And how God's faithful. He promised and promised. He promised and they kept waiting on the promise. But at God's appointed time, the promise was fulfilled. Their faith was tested and tried, and it was genuine. And in seven ways, he's like our, him and our Lord was their birth was typical in seven ways. Now it's also, let me tell you this way. The third thing is, Isaac is a type of us in our regeneration, of our new birth, of our new birth. It's like this. Before Isaac was born, you know what had to happen? There had to be no ability in Abraham and in Sarah. And before we will ever have the new birth, God's got to kill all of our power and all of our ability. He's going to bring us to where we absolutely know we ain't got nothing. And if God don't give us this birth, if God don't give us life, we ain't going to get it. And the older we get, the longer we believe us, the more we really understand how it must be that God gives us this life. Oh, before Isaac was born, God brought Abraham to be 100 years old. And Sarah was 99 years old, and it would be impossible for her to have a child. And beloved, it is with us and our fallen nature, and our depraved nature, and our hatred and enmity towards God, God had to kill all hopes in ourselves, make us barren before him. And when he done that, that's when he gave us life. He ain't going to give it till that happened. Oh, my. And I tell you, and before the birth, before there's a birth, the dead had to be quickened. And I tell you what, that's what happened to you. Know, he didn't even count the deadness of Sarah's womb. Her womb was dead. And before there can be the womb quickened, God had to give it life. And before we can be quickened, God takes dead sinners and gives them life. You know, let me tell you something about that Good Samaritan. You remember when they went down there and the Samaritan, they just call him the Samaritan. We call him Good Samaritan. But anyway, the Samaritan went down there and found that man half dead. Half dead. The robbers had robbed him and beat him and left him half dead. Now, what in the world does it mean for him to be half dead? Well, let me put it, this is the way I think it is. Well, he was alive to the world. He is alive to his own nature, fallen nature, and he was alive to sin. But he was 100% dead to God. And that's the way it is in this world here. We're alive to the world. We're alive to sin. We're alive to the flesh. We're alive to our fallen nature. But we are 100% dead toward God. And so the only way in the world that we're going to have life, God's got to do a miracle. He got to have a supernatural act of God. And before Isaac could be born, God had to work a miracle. What in the world could Abraham and Sarah do? What could they do? What could they do? They're helpless. And then one day she got up, she said, Abraham, I'm going to have a baby. And one day we're sitting here and we're hearing the gospel. We listen to the gospel, and the power of God comes on us, and for the first time, we really hear. We really, really hear. You know why we hear? Because God worked a miracle in our minds, in our hearts, in our souls. He took the scales off our eyes, unstopped our ears, took that veil off our hearts, and we heard. And beloved, when we heard that, our hearts did burn within us, our hearts melted within us, and we never experienced anything like it in our lives. And I'll tell you something, we ain't got over that yet. The older I get, the more precious it is. Oh, listen, no wonder we sing Amazing Grace, for it's truly amazing. And oh, here's another thing about regeneration. When Isaac was come in Abraham's house and he was born, when he was born and he was that child of promise, that miracle child, that caused opposition, it caused conflict. And that's what it says here in verse 10 of chapter 21. In verse 9. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had born unto Abraham, mocking. Making fun of Isaac. Mocking Isaac. Now listen, let me tell you something. As long as Ishmael there, nothing but the flesh there, nothing, no conflict, until Isaac, the child of promise, come into the picture, everything was fine. And in the flesh, that child of flesh and that child of miracle, that child of flesh and that child of promise. And listen, they didn't know what Ishmael was like until Isaac was born. We didn't know what this flesh was like until we were born. That's one of the greatest shocks you ever have after you regenerate, after God saves you by His grace. You mean to tell me you'll be saved about 30 days, 45 days, 2 months, and all of a sudden your flesh will go to acting up, your mind will go wandering here, and you'll have this thing, and you'll say, how in the world could I be saved and be like this? You know, we never had any conflict. There was no conflict in Abraham's house till Isaac got there. And there's no conflict in our house until Christ moves in. And when Christ moves in, that child of promise, that new birth comes in, we don't have no trouble. But after that, that's one of the greatest marks of regeneration, is that a conflict don't start until you get born again, till God gives you life. Now, ain't that right? And that's when the fight starts. And I'll tell you what, no wonder Paul said, I see a war. A war? Yes, a war. Where's it going on, Paul? It's going on in my members. It's going on in my mind. Going on in my heart. Going on in my soul. Going on in my flesh. Between my spiritual man and my old man. When I would do good, evil's right over here. And that I wouldn't do, I said, I ain't going to do that. And he said, I turn around, that's what I do. I know, the will is present with me. But how to perform, I don't know how. And then he said, oh, wretched man that I am. And then you know what the next word out of his mouth was? There is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ. This old flesh may give us a battle, but one of these days, and that'll be the next thing. Oh, my Isaac was born. The true character of Ishmael was made, and the other was a gift of God. And I tell you what, he was circumcised. He circumcised him the eighth day. Ain't that what it says there? And in verse 4, Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old. Now let me tell you something about this eighth day. The Jewish day started on Saturday. Their Jewish day starts at 6 o'clock in the evening. They go from 6 o'clock in the evening to 6 o'clock, and it starts on a Saturday night, because the Sabbath starts on Friday at 6 and it goes to Saturday at 6. And so they have a 7-day calendar. And then the eighth day is when our Lord Jesus Christ, that's the day he rose again on the first day of the week on a Sunday. And when they come off of the flood, it was an eighth day. And here he is. The eighth day always talks about being on resurrection ground. And we're on resurrection ground. And I'll tell you, not only is he circumcised the eighth day, but look, I want you to see this. I've quoted it to you. Colossians. Look in Colossians with me. Colossians, let me show you something. Let's look at this together over here in Colossians chapter 2. You know, they had to circumcise the eighth day. The eighth day being the resurrection. New day. We're not going on 7 days. We're going 8 days. We're going on the resurrection day. But look what we're circumcised to. And look what he says here in Colossians 2:10. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and power, in whom, in Christ, are you also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. And listen to this. What did circumcision do for us? It put off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Christ cut off the sins. They cut off the foreskin. Christ cut off the body of sin. And circumcised, spiritual circumcision. And then look what it says here. And then he was weaned, and they made him a great feast. Look down here in verse 8. And the child grew and was weaned. There come a time, back over in Genesis 21:8, and the child grew and was weaned. And that weaned off of his mother's milk. And the scriptures tells us, you know, since as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And then not only that, but Abraham made a great feast. And when God weans us from this world, and he's doing that, he's weaning us off of this world. When he weans us off of this world, do you know what kind of feast we're going to have? Our Lord Jesus Christ said, come into the marriage supper of the Lamb. Sit down. And he said, you know what he told his disciples? Said, I'll not drink wine with you until we drink it new in the kingdom of God. A new wine. Oh. Mm. And then let me show you this, the last thing in verse 9. And let me see if I can explain this right. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had born unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. Thing was grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, don't let it be grievous because of the bondwoman and your son. And it said down in verse 13, and also of the son of the bondwoman I make a nation because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, and put it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. And one of these, see, God delivered. Here's what God delivered Isaac from that flesh and that persecution, that one that mocked him and made fun of him. God says, you got to go. And one of these days, God's going to take this old man, this old Ishmael that's in all of us, he's going to take that old Ishmael, he's going to run him out of the town, he's going to run him out of the country. And when he's gone, we'll be gone too. So that child that persecutes his flesh will be gone one of these days. And all the world that man can do for us, give us a bottle of water and a piece of bread. But oh my, one of these days, God will say, that's enough. Ishmael's got to go. The flesh has got to go. And oh my, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to think that we'll be done with this flesh one of these days. There'll be nothing else. We won't, you know, we mock ourselves. We mock ourselves. Don't we? We mock ourselves. We say, how in the world could I be this way? You talk to yourself. If any of y'all ever talk to yourself, you do something dumb or stupid or something, you say, oh my goodness, you say, did I do that? Oh, Floyd, you say all the time, Floyd Allen, why did you do that? And that's what I say to myself. I say, DB, what in the world's the matter if you do such a thing? Well, I tell you what, old DB will be gone one of these days. He'll put God will put DB out there. He'll put him way out under the side. And ain't you looking forward to that day? Oh, what a blessed day that's going to be. Oh, my. Well, appreciate you listening. Our Father, oh, Father, Father, precious name of Christ our Lord, thank you for allowing us this time this evening. Thank you for taking your word and showing us something about our Lord Jesus Christ and his birth, and about our new birth, and how supernatural act it is, and what a powerful miracle it is that you perform. Lord, we thank you for it, that this flesh had nothing to do with it. It's all a promise, all promised, all given to us as the gift of God, as Isaac was to Abraham and Sarah. This life is a gift of God. Christ is the gift of God, and we thank you for it. Bless these dear children of God, these saints of God. Bless them going in, bless them coming out. Bless them in their homes, and bless them with their children. Bless them on their jobs. Bless them in their spirits, bless them in their hearts. Oh, Lord, you're the only one that can do these things. And as Brad said, Lord, help us to be good to one another, be kind to one another, support one another, and be an encouragement to one another, and love one another. And we ask these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.